Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a very unique and very fantastic show to share with you today. This really is probably one of the most unique experiences that I've come across in doing this show and being here in New York. So I'm really excited to be sharing this with you. And joining us to talk about it today, we have the executive director of this organization, Yurena Ribbons. She's here to talk to us about ICE Theatre of New York's presentation of its 2024 season. This is happening May 3rd through 4th with a benefit gala on May 6th at the Sky Rink at Chelsea Piers. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting icetheatre.org. As I said, this is something I've never had the opportunity to take in, never even knew this kind of thing existed here in New York. So I'm over the moon that we're getting to share this with you as well. So let's go ahead and welcome on our guest, Yurena. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. I mean, who knew that ICE Theater was a thing, let alone here in New York? This is amazing. So let me jump in right away and just ask, can you tell us a little bit about this season and about what ICE Theater of New York is?
Well, so we're the nation's first not-for-profit ice dance company, and we are dedicated to creating ice dancing as an art form. So that is very different from competition skating or from Disney on Ice. You know, we're not characters. We are true dance, and we work with choreographers from both the outside, you know, the dance world, as well as inside the skating world. So we've grown some choreographers through the years, because you may not know us, but we're almost 40 years old. Next year is our 40th anniversary season.
Wow, that is amazing. So turning to this year, the 2024 season, how did you select the pieces that you're doing?
Okay, so our performances will feature the professional ITNY ensemble. And then on the gala night, we also have a very special young guest artist coming. He's the current world champion figure skater. So he comes from the competitive world. He's 19, and he has self-named himself the quad god. He does all quadruple jumps in skating, including a 4.5 revolutions in the air, which is a quadruple axel. So he'll be coming to show some of his fantastic, you know, jumps in addition to our beautiful ice dancing. So the pieces that we chose this year were anchored around one restaging of a piece called Appalachia Waltz, because we are honoring an alumni, Judy Blumberg, who was an ice dance champion, and she was our ensemble director for a couple of years. And so she was in that piece. So in her honor, we revived it. It's for 6 skaters, and it's beautiful music from Mark O'Connor with Yo-Yo Ma, and it's just gorgeous. And so the other pieces kind of fell, you know, in place around it, you know, to make sure that there's a flow of the evening. Our artistic director, Moira North, who's also our founder of the company, she makes sure that it, you know, is a cohesive show. So we'll have some solos and duets, and, you know, by a variety of choreographers. The Appalachia Waltz was choreographed by Joanna Mendelshaw together with Doug Webster, who's a skate choreographer, but Joanna Mendelshaw has the dance company Equus, and so she comes from the dance world. So it's really interesting. And she and Douglas were on hand to help us restage it, as well as Judy, who came in from Colorado to, no, from Idaho to, you know, help us restage it. So it's very interesting because we're a repertory company, right? So it's a whole new cast that has to learn choreography that was originally staged on other performers. So that is one of the challenges of working with ICE Theater that is different from any other show, because, you know, you don't get cast as you get cast as part of the repertory that's already existing. Of course, we also create new pieces, like we did a new piece with Colton Krause, is a Broadway dancer. We did that for the tree lighting at Bryant Park, and it ended up on PBS, and that was really fun. And, you know, so we try to collaborate with people from a variety of areas, and that makes it very interesting. So that's why we're ICE Theater of New York, you know, because of these different influences that we try to bring into our performing.
I love that. How amazing is that? Now, with this season, with it being the 39th season, What has it been like developing these works and getting them essentially on their feet, on the ice as we roll into opening?
Yeah, well, it's always a challenge, right? Because there's not enough ice rinks in New York City. So finding time to rehearse on the ice is really difficult and very, very expensive. So we are very creative and we do a lot of off-ice rehearsals ahead of time, you know, where we try to set, you know, all the upper body parts. But of course, once you take it on the ice, things change because, you know, once you start gliding, you know, it's all different, which is why dance choreographers love to work with us because, you know, we can't sustain a glide. You know, we're the closest to flying, right? Where the ice skating, we always say, appeals to the Peter Pan in us, right? Because once you like, you know, you fly across the ice. And so, and we can also sustain spins, right? For a long time. So to try and set that all off ice, you know, it's not the same. So you do need the time on the ice. And so, and, you know, and then also we have a challenge because we're a hybrid between dance and competitive skating, you know, like to find the audience for us, right? I mean, you know, to appeal to, we try to appeal to dancers, we try to appeal to skaters, but we're kind of like in the middle. And then there's always the challenge also of where we perform. We perform in an ice rink. And to try and bring people all the way over to the west side to Sky Rink is a challenge. And then we transform the rink into a theatrical space as much as we can. But right after we finish, we have to strike everything because then there's hockey overnight, right? So we cannot afford to rent the space for like the whole home season, like the 4 days on end. So we have to be very creative with our lighting and, you know, the sets and, you know, we don't have a lot of sets because we feel more like it's backdrops. You know, we're a dance company. We don't want to have too many props and sets. So, but still the backdrops have to be moved, the lights have to be moved and, you know, everything. So, but our home season, we tried to make it as theatrical as possible. So it has beautiful, beautiful lighting.
That's incredible. I want to turn now to this gala you have on May 6th, if I may. You know, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Right. So every year at the end of the home season, we do a gala night and we try to honor people who have been champions in the sport, but also continue to give back to the sport and continue to inspire people with their ice dancing. They're either coaching, choreographing, or announcing. And this year we are honoring two ice dance teams that kind of, they put the United States on the map as a power in ice dance in Olympic sport. Before that, we had a Olympic medal in like 1976, the very first time. And then kind of the Russians took over. And it was, you know, all Soviet and Russians till we got Tanit Belbin and Ben Agosto, who won a silver medal at the Olympics. And then they were followed by Merrill Davis and Charlie White, who won a silver in the first Olympics in 2010. And then they won the gold in 2014. So those two teams are being honored and they're coming. And it's very exciting for the New York fans that to see them live. And like I said, we have an alumni award that goes to Judy Blumberg. And then we're also honoring choreographer Sandra Bezek. And Sandra Bezek has a couple of Emmys and she did Carmen on Ice with Katarina Witt and Brian Boitano. She choreographed Brian Boitano's winning performance at his Olympics. She worked with Christy Yamaguchi, her performance at the Olympics, Tara Lipinski. So she's kind of like skating royalty. And it's really fun to have these four people who are all connected to, you know, dancing on ice to come and be part of this evening.
That is amazing. I will admit that I know several of those names from the good old 90s, as my mother is a huge ice skating, ice dancing fan, you know. That's incredible. Now, is this benefit gala also at Sky Rink at Chelsea Piers?
Yes, yes. So it's all the patrons come for a performance first, and that night is at 6:30, whereas the other nights are at 7, just a little earlier, so we can then cocktail after. And then there is a big dinner and an award ceremony for the people attending the gala. But the performance is also open to people to come watch. I mean, you know, it's just a slightly higher price for the Monday night because it is a fundraiser for the company. That's how we survive the gala. You know, you know, nonprofits. I mean, you know, it's vital for the survival of a nonprofit company. But the performances on Friday and Saturday night are only $25 a piece. So that's very affordable. We try to also invite community groups to attend for free. We obviously reach out to the dance students and regular students. They all get, you know, $15 tickets. And so, you know, we try to make it as affordable as possible.
That is so fantastic. And I want to turn back to your 39th season, your 2024 season. And I'm curious to know, with the pieces and the works that you are doing, is there a message or a thought you hope the audiences take away from this?
Yeah, I think we want them to realize that there is more to, you know, skating than what they maybe know of, you know, like I said, competitive or Disney. And our pieces are, you know, some of them are just beautiful and others are very thought-provoking. We have great collaborations. We're working with Kelly Moran, who's a singer, on a piece called Butterfly Face. And then we have a solo that's kind of thought-provoking from the music of the movie Amistad. It's called Dry Your Tears Africa. And we have a duet that's choreographed by Lorna Brown. Now, Lorna Brown is also a name from the past. She was in the original John Curry Ice Dance Company. And John Curry is kind of the father of dancing on ice companies. I mean, he, after his Olympic win, he said, I really want to have a dance company. And so he started John Curry Skating. And, you know, we, Moira especially, our founder director, was very much inspired by John. And that's when she formed the company here in New York City in 1984. So,
standing. Well, that leads to my final question for this first part, which is, who do you hope have access not only to this season, but to Ice Theater of New York in general?
Yeah, once we were called the New York's best kept secret in the New York Times, and we don't want to be that anymore. So we'd love to get more people to get to know about us. And, you know, we'd love to have everybody have access, but especially people who like dance and who want to see, you know, a different form of it. And especially people who like skating and who want to see how it can be transformed into a performing art.
Interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better, pick your brain, if you will. And I would love to know, what or who inspires you? What shows, composers, or playwrights, or in this case, even skaters, have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites?
Oh, well, if we're talking skaters, that would be way too long a show. Let's talk about some other things, like the Broadway shows. Like, I love Les Mis. I mean, I always thought that music was so inspiring. And more recently, I loved Kimberly Akimbo because they actually came and trained on our synthetic ice in our studio in Dumbo. And one of our performers, Ali Izquierdo, helped them, you know, get their skills. So that was very special. And to go see it, and, you know, after the rehearsals, was really nice. So, and I am friends with Mary Testa. She sang me down the aisle when I got married. So she's very special to me. And I try to go see everything she does. So I went to Gardens of Annuncio lately, right? So that's really special. And then I went early to see Harmony because Sierra Bogus is a secret skater. She's a figure skater. So we kind of suss these things out and then we go and try to support them. So I went when it was still at the Jewish Museum. So, you know, before it came to Broadway. And composers, wow, you know, we did, Ice Theater was very, very fortunate to work with Philip Glass for his 85th birthday party at Rockefeller Center. And it was a collaboration with Laurie Anderson. So that was, you know, super special because Laurie had done a piece for us years ago for Ice Theater. And here we are, you know, working with Laurie again, and then to the music of Philip Glass. And it was just a wonderful live performance. And then one of our pieces that is my favorite ICE, or one of ICE Theater's favorite pieces, is called Departures. It was done in memory of a person, a friend we lost in the World Trade Center. And it's to the Adagietto by Gustav Mahler from Symphony No. 5. And it is this most beautiful music. It's a six women skating in white, and it's just gorgeous. It's on our, you know, we have both a YouTube channel and a Vimeo, and you can see it there. It's just beautiful. So that music to me is just incredible. And this past weekend, I went to see a tribute to Duke Ellington by the Harlem Opera Theater. It happened to be in my neighborhood. I live up in Harlem, so it was at the Harlem School of the Arts. So it was really cool. And I learned so much about Duke Ellington. I didn't know he did over 3,000 compositions in all these genres. And, you know, so they sang different things, and there was a band, and we actually all got up and danced, and it was really fun. And, you know, being a skater, we grow up with classical music, right? I mean, right from the get-go. I mean, I have what I call, you know, skating's greatest hits. And I always get upset when people skate to those, because really, we've been skating to those for a century. So can we stop? But I still love the ballet music and Romeo and Juliet's Prokofiev. And then another favorite piece is Cacciatore's Spartacus. I think that is such sweeping music. And I went to this opera lately. I just saw Turandot at the Met. And, you know, and the Zeffirelli staging is just, it blows you away. I mean, you know, it's a spectacle of, you know, the greatest. It's maybe not the most intimate of opera experiences, but boy, what a spectacle. I mean, so much gold, more than skating. Okay. And we're known for glitter and stuff, but that kind of puts us to shame. I mean, you know. So those are some of the things that inspire me. And if you really want to talk skating, I'm happy. But, you know, I've been working in skating since the 70s, mid 70s. And I came actually to the United States for the first time to work the 1980 Olympics as a researcher for ABC, and went on to work, you know, 8 Olympics. And, you know, so, you know, I can talk skating.
You've seen a thing or two, right?
Yes.
That is a wonderful list. I love that. Some of our favorite shows also listed there, including Kimberly Akimbo, which I just adore. I want to know, you know, what is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Oh, well, you know, as I said before, we are so fortunate to do, you know, working with a variety of people. I mean, like from Colton Krause to, we did a collaboration with Alicia Howe Moran. She's a singer, vocalist, and we did two actually, one at National Sawdust, but we did the first one with her, was called Carmen on Ice, or I forgot what we called it. But anyway, it was with the Prototype Opera Festival. And we did in public performances in like the rinks, both in Harlem and at Bryant Park. And during a public session, she came out and she performed and she sang, you know, Carmen, because it was like, you know, she was inspired by the Battle of the Carmens, which was Katharina Witt and Debbie Thomas. It's also from the, you know, 80s. So, but anyway, so that was really interesting, because we'd never had anybody sing, and certainly not on the ice in a public session. And it was really interesting to see the difference, how the public reacted in the two different spaces, you know, because Bryant Park is, you know, downtown, you know, midtown, and then Harlem. And the Harlem crowd was, you know, this is very nice that you're singing, but, you know, this is my skating time, so I'm just going to skate. Whereas at Bryant Park, a lot of people stopped and watched, because, you know, Ice Theater was also performing, you know, and she had a Kodo drummer, and, you know, there was all these things going on the ice. And so for the Bryant Park people, it was like a performance. For the Harlem people, it was like, this is my ice time, dude. I mean, I'm going to go for it. It was very interesting. And we did another National Sawdust thing with Theo Bleckman, who's another singer. He did Schubert's Winterreise. And we had synthetic ice in there and performed. So we had a duet perform, and he was on piano. No, he was doing keyboard and stuff, but he had a pianist as well. It was very interesting, I mean, to be in a totally different space. Now, Ice Theater has performed on the proscenium stage before, but never in New York City, because we can't find an affordable venue. You know, we need a large space for performing, at least 40 by 60, which means a large stage. And if it's a large stage, then it's a huge theater. And, you know, we can't afford a huge theater at this stage. So we keep hoping to find a way to do it. We did West Point. We've been out on Long Island. And you know, we were in Colorado, and you know, wherever we can, we try to stage something on a proscenium stage, but it's not happened yet in New York City. So I love working with these people from outside the skating world because they give us a different perspective. They're, you know, we challenge them to think differently, but they also challenge us to think differently. So it makes it very, you know, creative, interesting. That's why ice theater is so special, because, you know, it tries to, you know, incorporate these other visions in its performances.
That is fantastic. All of that is so cool. I love that. And here's hoping for the 40th season, we're going to get a proscenium show from you. So here's hoping.
I hope the shed or, you know, the armory come calling. We can put a nice ice surface in there and put seating around it. And
there we go.
We just need a Lincoln Kirstein for us. You know, we haven't found him yet. So.
Well, we put it out in the universe, so it has to come true. Well, now we have arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is what is your favorite theater memory?
I have two. One was Yul Brynner in The King and I. It was one of the first shows I saw in New York City. I was very young. I think I might have been 17 or 18. It was my first or second visit to New York City. And I was just blown away by, you know, because it had been one of my favorite movies. And then to see him live, it was just incredible. The other one is Richard Chamberlain. It's another childhood thing because, you know, The Sound of Music is one of the movies that taught me English. You know, doe, a deer, a female deer, you know, before I even knew what I was singing, I was mimicking the words because my native language is Flemish. So I needed to learn English. And those movies back then when I was growing up were not they weren't dubbed, you know, they were subtitled, but they weren't dubbed. So we learned the sounds of English and we would just sing along with the song before we knew what we were singing. But anyway, so I went to see, you know, The Sound of Music and Richard Chamberlain, and we sat right there on the aisle and he walked past us for the wedding scene. And it was like, anyway, so I was with another friend and we were both like, oh, so that was fun. Anyway, so those are two things that I really, you know, they're very special.
I love those. Those are amazing. Oh, to see Richard Chamberlain, that had to be just incredible. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing those. As we wrap things up, I would love to know, do you or your company have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Well, we'll go on hiatus for the summer, right? Because summer in New York City means summer camp. And so the ice time is all taken up by little tykes, you know, learning to skate. So we go on hiatus, but then we come back in September. And besides, you know, our ticketed events at Skyrink, which happen in the fall and in the spring, we do a ton of like 30 to 35 performances all around the city in the seasonal rinks. So from Bryant Park, Woman Rink, the up in Harlem, I mean, downtown. I mean, wherever we can find an ice surface, we will perform. Those are all free to the public. They're always on our website if you go look at, you know, upcoming events. And they're usually short. Bryant Park has some that are like 20 minutes long. Most of the others are 10 minutes because, you know, people want to skate. So we kind of like steal a little time from the Zamboni time and a little from their session. And we squeeze ourselves in between there and we give a performance, hopefully to inspire them to get out there and try some stuff. So that's what we do. And then we have a big holiday show every year on the second Saturday of December. And it's a holiday performance with a tree lighting. And it's up in Riverbank. It's called Denny Farrell, you know, Riverbank State Park, their rink. It's free to the community. And we use all the community groups to perform in it, like Figure Skating in Harlem, the Riverbank Ice Skating Club. We bring in a synchro team from New York that is the Skyliners. So it's like we have over 60 performers participating. And then there is the ITNY professionals. And it's a beautiful, beautiful holiday show. And, you know, we have a guy in a red suit that visits at the end of it. So
I love that. That's amazing. Well, that leads to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Ice Theater of New York's 2024 season or the gala, or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, How can they do so?
So the website, icetheater.org, you know, when you can spell it both the British or the American way, it gets you both to the same website. I learned to do that. And there's all kinds of stuff on there. We have about the performers, about upcoming performances. We have a link to, you know, videos, a link to all kinds of information there, and obviously also to ticket sales. So, and we are selling tickets for all three nights. But the one for Monday night is getting close to full because the rink holds about 700 people, which for an ice dance company is a ton of people because, you know, they usually don't perform for so many. But because of the young, you know, whippersnapper skater coming, you know, people, a lot of people are coming to watch. So
wonderful. Well, Urina, thank you so much for taking
Oh, you're welcome.
With me. And sharing this incredible company. Like I said, I had no idea. And I cannot wait to come to a show. I'm so excited. This is amazing. So thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome. I can't wait to see the final product and I'll stay tuned. I mean, I'll, you know, subscribe. So
thank you. My guest today has been the executive director of Ice Theater of New York, Urina Ribbons. She joined us to talk about their 2024 season, which is happening May 3rd through the 4th with a benefit gala on May 6th. All of this at the Sky Rink at Chelsea Piers. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting icetheater.org. While you're at their website, you can also check out many of their upcoming performances that will be happening in the fall. They've got a wonderful holiday performance up here in Harlem the second Saturday of December. Listen, they do so much. This is absolutely incredible. And who doesn't want to see Theater on Ice? I mean, this is amazing. You'll want to hurry and get your tickets because the 6th is almost sold out. So you've only got those two other shows as well. So head over to icetheater.org, get your tickets now for the 2024 season of Ice Theater of New York, May 3rd through 4th with that gala on the 6th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.